The show is about to begin.
Hang in
Dude,
there, it is.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you were at a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked five of the last eight winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, just go in the hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Charlie?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is the Smiley Show.
We are live once again from the T-Mobile Club Magenta. We just look, Jackson Brown just breathed a big sigh of relief because we made it on the air today.
We're on the air.
This man's been grinding. He's been working hard out here. Once again, you know, props to Jax in the chat. This man is putting these productions on for us this week. And two in a row, this is great because I'm looking at all sorts of comments about Friday here at Arana Mink, and the sentiment is clear, Smiley. The people want to talk about the hole locations. We've got some good comments here. Ella Haas says, These Toughman locations seem to be the hot storyline of the day. It makes it more interesting to watch a close leaderboard and guys grinding to make birdies. Ella, I happen to agree with you, but some players that we're going to hear from momentarily do not. So, Smiley, before I play some sound from Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, and you're going to dig into some specific ones, what were your thoughts on the course setup at Arana Mink?
So there was a couple instances of some hole locations and where they had tee boxes today where I think if we were playing a PGA Tour event, they would have made some adjustments. Now, it is a major championship. This is designed to test the best players in the world. And I thought Rory McIlroy, when he talked after the round, which I'm not sure if that's some of the sound we're going to be
sure
playing.
It sure is, partner.
Well, you might as well just get that pulled up. But
let's just get it pulled up.
Yeah, so it's just interesting because I was just out on the 14th hole with Live From, and they came down with a shot of Rory McIlroy. And Rory is one of the highest ball hitters in the game. He hits his irons as high as anybody. But the setup there today, it was 213 yards, and it was in off the left, really blowing more so in the morning. But as it went down in the afternoon, it died down. But still, the challenge was still there for a 6-5 and 4-iron for a golf ball that's landing on a downslope. You had to hit some like slice in there to try to use the contour to get it close. And so you start to wonder, you know, was it awarding enough good shots? And I think that was like the one shot that I saw today, and there was countless others, but that was one that stuck out of, okay, that's a shot that very, very few guys can hit the apex that Rory McIlroy can hit with the long iron, and his ball's not even staying on the green. Maybe that's why we have this thing a little jumbled up at the end.
So I think from a fan perspective, especially given the last two PGA championships we watched, Quail Hollow and a Valhalla, if you go back to Oak Hill, this feels much closer to Oak Hill than these past two. And it's fun to watch a little bit of carnage. It's fun to have a tight leaderboard because there are a lot of guys in the mix. In fact, from Elias Sports Bureau, 15 players are within two strokes of the lead after round two. That's the third highest total in major championship history and the highest total in PGA championship history. But we'll play some sound here from Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy where they think that maybe that's not such a good thing. So let's take a listen to that right now.
Most of the pins today were kind of absurd. They were just so far into the areas where we thought the pins were going to be, and then they just, like the one on 14 was probably the hardest pin that I've seen in a long time just because, there's literally just like a spine, and they're like, I'll just put the pin right on top of it. And you're like, all right, well, see what I can do.
I think a bunch leaderboard like this, I think it's a sign of not a great setup. I think when it's as bunched as it is, because it hasn't really enabled anyone to separate themselves.
So let's take that in reverse order, Smiley. Let's start first with your whether you agree or disagree with Rory on whether a bunch leaderboard is a reflection of the setup. And then you picked out a few hole locations today you want to talk about. And we're hoping that with the wizardry of Jackson Brown over here, we're going to be able, you are going to be able to see those hole locations from the official yardage book the PGA of America issues. So, do you agree or disagree with Rory's statement that this bunch leaderboard is really kind of indicative of a setup that doesn't bring out the best players?
So this weather condition, this forecast we got on Thursday and Friday, I think that's what, of course, made it play so difficult. When you have cooler temperatures, north wind gusting up to 20 to 25 throughout the first couple days, well, of course, that's going to be difficult in any major championship you play. So that's kind of step one. But let's kind of talk about just the overall setup prior to the event of the golf course and what the PGA of America decided to do. Now, the green speeds, I would say, fairly normal. I wouldn't call them crazy. They had some rain Wednesday, so it's not like the greens are just crazy firm. They knew the slopes were going to be, kind of what protected the golf course. But where my mind goes to is that the first cut around the greens and then also off the fairways. I think there's been too many tee shots that may have been a little bit undeserving of maybe some lies at where the golf ball is finished. You know, so often that we see the U.S. Open, they have a staggered rough setup to where there's that first cut and then it's a little bit higher in that first set of primary rough. And then there's that secondary rough that's even more high, where it feels like here today, you know, you can almost be just as punished for hitting the fairway and the ball just rolling off into a tough lie. And then also somebody that, you know, hits it a little bit more offline in some trampled area. Like, for instance, John Rahm today on the 13th hole hit it further right than anybody. Actually, it was the 12th hole. But still, he had a clean lie, and somebody that just hit the fairway and it rolls off, you know, they're having to, you know, they don't have control over their golf ball. So I think the first cut is kind of where I start. I think that would have definitely helped a little bit more with scoring. But when you have Donald Ross greens that are raised up like this, that have competing influences that aren't necessarily going with the slope of the contours of the actual golf course and just the land in general, that's where players aren't just going to make as many putts. I mean, I think Victor Hovland missed like 18 putts inside of 15 feet. It's just like an absurd amount. Clearly, these players were struggling reading the greens and then also dealing with, you know, the wind and other factors with the speed of the greens. And listen, it was just hard. The weather made it difficult.
Now, let's talk about a few four holes in particular that you've highlighted. And I don't know if you have your yardage book. I hate to part with mine, you know, but you can borrow mine momentarily if you want to.
No, I got it. Steel trap up here, man.
Okay, so let's start with the fifth hole. Jackson's going to pull that hole location up and talk to us about that one.
Well, the wind today was in off the right, and I think back hole locations, you're always so concerned at Donald Ross golf courses not to come up long. But when I think the cool part, when you look at the hole locations, there's only so many on these greens that you can find. And you can see the slopes, especially the little white areas, really, to see exactly, you know, how much these players have to work with. You know, you got these two little spines that are guarding this little hole location, to where if you get too far left, it becomes a difficult two-putt. And then also if you get too far right, it also makes for a challenging two-putt. But if you get it in between the spines, you're left with a pretty easy birdie putt. But we're talking about a 10 to 12-foot circle we're dealing with here. So I'm not sure if – does it come up here, the fifth hole? Are we looking at it?
We I believe we are looking at it. I'm looking at a delayed feed over here.
Okay,
we're loving and learning. We're just figuring this thing out as we go.
Beautiful.
Know what I mean?
There it is.
Oh, look,
nice.
Look at that on delay. Hey, how about it, Jax? That's
all right.
Pretty sweet. Sweet. 10th hole will be the next one we go to, which, by the way, played the hardest on the course today. The 10th is the hardest hole, and then we're going to get to in a few holes here the second hardest hole, which is the one, the 14th that Scotty referred to, and you were out there putting on. But talk to us about 10 now.
It's probably the most difficult green that some of these players are going to play in their career.
Wow. I mean, wow. That's a statement.
It is.
I mean, you can just see
it. It is that silly, dude.
Three or four different ridges here.
I mean, when you look at it, you see that left of the hole location, it all falls off. But then also a couple steps right, it all falls off to the right side of the green. So what do you do, right? Like, do you – I mean, it just requires you to be so accurate. And then also, where was the wind today on 10? It was
– it should be left to right.
No, it's right to left. Northwest is right out of the right.
Am I bad in my direction?
Even with that – so think about this. These contours of these fairways at the 10th hole, balls above your feet. So what does that entice you to do? Well, it's going to make the golf ball curve a little bit more to the left. And then you have a shot shape that really, I think you would probably prefer to hit something left or right, because it's going to hold that left or right wind to make that first bounce straight. If you have a right to left shot that's riding a right to left wind, that golf ball is going to bounce left when it lands. And from there, it's off the green to the left. So it's just, I mean, what you can do, you can just hit it to 20 feet short right and go and try to two putt and make your par. But it's, when I say it's the most difficult green, it's when you have that hole location on the left side of the green, it's just one that if you want to go at it and try to hit it close, like be, I think the rest of the field's like, yeah, go ahead. Be our guest.
Okay, I think I just had, before we get to our next hole, I think I just had a moment that maybe rivals you and Lucky realizing that all the numbers in your yardage book at Pinehurst were to the front of the green, not the center of the green. So are you telling me if I'm looking at that compass and that's northwest?
It's coming out of the northwest.
It's coming out of northwest. It's going to
We're not a compass pod.
Not a compass pod, apparently. Okay, I'll make that edit for the weekend.
So all of your wind map?
All the wind maps are opposite. It's an easy fix, I guess.
I thought there was a couple times that we had a moment like that this week where I was like...
I was sitting next to Jax, and he's we're looking at like Scotty hitting his approach on 9 or 10 or something. And he's like, which way is the wind coming? I'm like, I think it's like right to left helping. He's like, no, I think it's like left to right hurting. I'm like, no, that's not what my yardage book says. It's like, dude, just look at the flags.
Listen, guys, he's like, been carrying around his yardage book like he's teeing it up in this PGA Championship. It's unbelievable. This guy, he can't take a day off.
You got to look the part before you can act the part. All right, take us now to 13, Smiley.
Okay, so 13.
I mean, that's just insane.
I had a chance to walk up really close to see this.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's down here on the right?
No, it's up there on the left.
My twos look at my one.
It almost looks like this whole location's on the fringe. You know, you could see over there that slope that kind of runs diagonal across the top right portion of this green all feeds away to the right. But then also left of the whole location bounces away from you. Now, that's a good weave left of this whole location. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, when you have something coming off of the bunker that's going to be landing a bit on the downslope, if you miss this fairway, that's why you haven't seen people try to push this up. It's a short par four. But if the problem is if you're playing from any of the rough, you're not able to get to that hole location. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You have to play to middle right part of the green. That's why you've seen a lot of irons off this hole. So when you do hit the fairway, you can go attack mode to this, but three steps off the left side of the green? I mean, that's just – we don't usually see three. We'll see four and five, but three's that's pretty tight.
All right, and let's now finish with the 14th hole, which where you were out there live from.
Yeah, this is.
I mean, it's hard to even pick up because they don't. On this, obviously, you can see kind of the big slopes, but you don't see the directional arrows.
Yeah,
that were on a putt view map or something similar to that. And it was right as you heard Scott say earlier, it was right on top of a little knob there that just made it impossible to make putts today.
Now, this whole location would have been fine today from 160 yards. We played it from 215, and so when you have a wind out of in off the left, well, that helps slow the ball down, and so you could see that. In that middle part of the green towards the back, you can use the slope to help feed it towards the hole location. And that requires a really high-level shot, and players were able to execute it today. Very few, but some did. Robert McIntyre did it. Justin Thomas did it. Rory McIlroy took it right at the hole location, and it landed on that downslope just on the backside of that bunker and goes over the green. And I hit that pitch in live from, and you can get you can get some interesting lies, but then if you also hit it to the left side of the green, it can make for a difficult two-putt. There were 15 three-putts today, and there were 15 three-putts yesterday. Hole location, very difficult. But when you look at the green, where else are you going to find four hole locations on this green, right? Like, you got back right, you got something in the back middle, you could put something in that maybe close to the, you know, about seven off of the left and about 9 to 10 up. But then in that situation, you can't miss it left of the green. So it's just, you know, when we talk about this PGA Championship in Aronimink and we look at the future, or at least looking back, we're going to remember that these greens are going to be as complex of any greens. And I think Scotty Scheffler referenced that maybe Shinnecock would be the closest, mm-hmm. which is fun, right? We got two
back-to-back
awesome
buddy.
Major championship venues up. With where these guys are, you know, professionally, you know, whining, which yes. is great. I love it.
And that's a perfect segue because we have so many comments in here. We got one from Carter Button, Joseph Boza, Bogey Betts, all asking some version of the same question, which is, as fans, we love watching this, but we hear guys complaining about, you know, getting on the clock for pace of play. We hear them complaining about the hole locations after the round, and I understand why you're under the stress of trying to win a major championship. This is your livelihood. I can understand why there's a little bit of venting about these things, but is there a little bit of feeling spoiled here, or just like,
No. There's more of an annoyance. So I'll explain it to you like this. If you've been watching all the coverage this week, luckily enough, we've had a multicast situation at home to where we've had three featured groups, the command center. And so
I had a great egg everything bagel in here that maybe I can tell you about later in the show.
But what you can see is that, you know, you're watching the main broadcast, but then on these featured groups, you're able to tell how long these groups are waiting on certain holes.
Yep.
So you get, as a player, you get frustrated when you legitimately wait 20 minutes on the eighth hole. Yesterday, there were two groups on the eighth tee just waiting. And so
Scotty was up there watching the group ahead of him hit shots.
I know.
Yeah, I think Rory like sat down on 10 today and was darn near took a nap.
I know. And that's the problem is when you are waiting a bunch out on the golf course and then finally you get some space on the front nine to go, and then you get in some situations where it takes another minute to make sure that you're making the right decision. Or let's say somebody had a ruling a hole or two ago.
So hit the ball up. Couldn't find his ball on 10.
Exactly.
How insane is that?
I know. It's just tough. Really, really tough luck with, you know, thousands of people around. You would think somebody would find a golf ball. But, yeah, it's a shame, you know. But it's been, you know, really interesting. I think once we get into a flow of twos on the weekend, I think that's definitely going to help. I think being 5 to 10 miles an hour out of the southwest on the weekend in warmer temperatures is going to help with pace of play. But this thing is wide open.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to kind of digest the day. But you got to give a shout out to the guy who played the best today. That's Chris Goddard, shot a 65 this morning, where you would have said the morning played a little bit more difficult in the wind. So to see what he did, I mean, he's got to be the guy at the top of the list of watch out for Goddard.
What, and just before we get to Gotti, one comment here, Hooves 313, that folds into something you and I have talked about off camera, is he says, welcome to the Northeast in early May.
Yeah,
I know this is something that we're going to unpack in maybe fuller context after this championship, but there's so much back and forth of, should we have kept this in August? You know, what's the difference in the venues? I am really enjoying seeing a Northeastern course coming right out of spring. There's still this sort of borderline nature of, you know, the weather being cold, chilly, windy. I'm really enjoying this. You feel the same, maybe?
I have, and I think you got to give a ton of credit to Aronimink, their superintendent, their grounds crew, the PGA of America, all the hard work they've put into getting this golf course to this point. Because if you've lived up in the Northeast, it's been an interesting winter, right?
It
was cold, not a ton of rain. I'm sure there was some snow that they were dealing with, but it wasn't conducive necessarily for heavy rough growth, which is why a lot of players talked about it being a little bit patchy coming into the week. But they were able to nail one part about this rough, which was the blade of the grass. I'm telling you, when it's standing straight up and it's not being matted down as the week goes on, which we see oftentimes on the PGA Tour with a certain type of grass, this rough has been the story for me, because I expected it, you know, when I think of patchy rough, that it's thick in some spots and then it's also kind of, you get some good lies, it's controllable to a degree. You know, it kind of comes up knuckly, but out here, you know, players have really struggled with not thinking, you know, it's just come out slow at times.
Yeah.
And even when it's come out the number for them, it's landing on a green, whether it's on a downslope. It's never landing in a flat spot to where they can either run something up to get it close to the hole. And these greens aren't necessarily funneling golf balls to the hole. They're repelling them away. And so that's why we're not seeing enough birdies. And maybe I think we'll see a little bit better scoring on the weekend. But with no rain, the PGA of America can kind of just keep spritzing this place and kind of decide what they want the winning score to be, really.
I feel like I've seen so many wonky knuckleballs. Pat Geeter on one of the par fives today had one that was just had to kind of punch a low runner out. Yesterday, as I was walking over here to do the show, Aaron Rye was above the left fairway bunker, the first left fairway bunker on four, and, you know, was trying to hit a ball all the way at the green and literally just chopped this thing, and it hit right into the next fairway bunker, and it was still 100 yards or so out from the green. It's giving these guys fits. And so I think the blade of the grass, and just, you know, we come in the week and we're so worried about the defenses. And now it's so funny 2 days in to feel like, is this too hard? We went from like, are they gonna win at 20 again?
It's a major championship. Is this too hard? It's a major perfect. Championship. I mean, Stephen Yeager had 18 pars today, which is just, I mean, that's U.S. Open right there. So the PGA of America has got a really, they've nailed it in my mind this week, because I love seeing these guys have to challenge themselves to figure out what a good score is every single day. Another quick note is that the bunkers, players haven't really been able to spin them out of the bunkers.
Yes.
Oftentimes, yep. That's just kind of the texture of the sand, maybe being a little bit more powdery would be the best way to describe mm-hmm. it. But then also, too, just where the golf ball's landing around the greens, and just that you're never landing it on a flat spot.
Well, I mean, you can imagine, too, like if it's difficult as it is to putt on these greens, like the way 14, it's just going to be equally difficult yeah. when you're playing a shot out of a bunker to get it close. Let's bring it back to some names, and I'm just going to read you a bunch of them right now and let you kind of pick the guys who you have your eye on as we head to Saturday. So Alex Smalley and Maverick McNealy are co-leaders at 4-under. Smalley is, through 2 days, first in strokes gained putting in the field. Mav is fifth in strokes gained approach and seventh in strokes gained around the green. So that's how those two guys have got it done. You mentioned the round of the day. Chris Cotter up. Don't know what golf course he was playing to shoot 65, but he's tied for third to 3-under. Via Elias Sports Bureau, 7 former major winners are within 4 strokes of the lead after 36 holes. You have Hideki Matsuyama at 3-under, Justin Thomas and Scottie Scheffler at 2-under, Jason Day and John Rahm at 1-under, and Patrick Reed and Cam Smith at even. And then I just picked a few other notables of guys that are playing great in the mix who maybe have not won a major but could be in line to win their first. Aldrich Pottgieter at 3-under, Minwoo Lee at 3-under, and then Cam Young and Ludvig Åberg at 2-under. Just hearing that list of guys, and again, I think this is why, even if Rory McIlroy may disagree, a bunch leaderboard is awesome, because there are so many guys we can keep an eye on tomorrow that can make a run and go get after it. And you know, it's almost the opposite of what we've talked about with these signature events with limited fields. Like, you could have a stacked leaderboard heading into Sunday that's just going to make for one of the best major finishes in recent memory.
I'm just trying to, like, decipher this a little bit. You know, when we look at strokes gained, it's such a good snapshot of what this golf course is testing and what's being rewarded the most. And as you look at the top of the leaderboard, you know, oftentimes you'll see guys that are leading in strokes gained putting be near the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that this week so far. Clearly, as I could see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that are, you know, within 2 shots of the lead are in the top 10 in strokes gained putting. But then I also look at strokes gained off the tee and see that there's the only person in the top 10 is Stephen Yeager, and he is 10th strokes gained off the tee. And so not seeing anybody in the top 10, really in the, you know, the top, or I should say the top 15 or so on the leaderboard, is unusual. You know, we typically see at major championships how important that is, how well you drive it, how long you drive it, how much shorter you have into the greens, and that assigned value that you're given based off how you're driving it. And it's just interesting that right now it's not as big of a deal, because I think most everybody's struggling to find fairways. And I think that would have to be the answer. And then, too, around the green is a huge, huge barrier right now, as whether you're going to be contending. And you see a lot of players, I think, that are in around that top 10 around the green. So if you're getting it up and down, you're chipping and reading the lies well, you're weaving in the right places, how important that is. And I think will continue to remain important. So, of course, you're going to have to hit it well. But I think the recipe on this weekend is get the ball in the fairway. We realize how important that is. Easier said than done. But then can you judge these difficult lies where they're putting these hole locations on these spines, and who's going to be able to make the putts?
All right. Just got the email here. The hole locations are out for tomorrow. I'm going to put this in front of you. I want you to live react to these and maybe pick out, like, the 3 spiciest that everyone here on the live stream can look out
book?
For.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you want my book as well?
Yeah, I need to see your book just so I can make sure I got
how
the slopes.
This?
Dialed in here.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. All
right. It's good to hold on your hands, right? It's pretty.
Stop it, man. All right. First hole, back left. Nothing burger.
Okay. All right, do you want me to scroll for you while you
go? Two's nasty.
Okay.
It's very, very tough. It's, oof, man, you got to hit the fairway at two. Three, that's a birdie opportunity. So far, one and three you can get. Two, you can definitely birdie, but it's definitely got to find the fairway. Fourth hole, 25 and seven. That's a potential opportunity for birdie. So Saturday, we got a moving day to start, in my humble opinion. The fifth hole, that's an opportunity of five, front left hole location. So far, so good what I'm seeing with these hole locations. So they're maybe backing off a little bit based off of what I can tell. Sixth hole, that's another birdie pin at six. Seven, 13 and eight. Yeah, I'm not minding that whatsoever. But seven, that's the problem. Front pin at seven, if you miss the fairway, it's just you're just playing to a spot. Mm-hmm. If you can find the fairway at two and seven, definitely birdie opportunities. Gosh, that's ironic though, right? It's so difficult. Eight is maybe one of the hardest pins on the golf course.
Wow. Okay.
Nine and five from the left.
Wow. Like just barely just on the front
just
left side.
Just look at this
little
pocket. Yep. Like it's ridiculous. Yep. I mean, they're going to have to move that hole.
We'll have these visuals for you all tomorrow.
They're
going to
move.
Yeah,
they're going to move the tee up on right. 8, 9, 27 and six.
Left.
Yeah. So that's a par five.
Okay.
They're thinking about birdie in this hole. Okay. Anytime you see a hole location like this, Charlie, where it's in the middle of the green, you know something's fishy here. So 20 and 14. So they have this. What they've done is they got it close enough to where the slope is coming.
Okay.
Where I think if you get it left of the slope, you're going to have something like an 8 to 10 footer coming back.
So this is 10 that Smiley said maybe the most diabolical green many of these guys have seen in their life. We're going to have an interesting one there tomorrow, okay?
Well, more so that hole location that they had yesterday, or I should say today. 11, okay, so they ended up going back left again at 11. I thought there was a chance that they might use that front left.
Yeah.
They're not using it, what it appears. I assume
so
they might
pretty
go
close
back
to,
right.
To Thursday's
birdie,
location.
Birdie
right.
opportunity. Yep. 12 back right. It's all about finding the fairway there. But if you miss the rough, that's your plan for par. 13, another middle hole location. Oh, gross. What am I looking at? That's tough. That's
a tough one. Okay, that's kind of like, middle like right-ish.
I think that if they're playing it up here, which they could make this hole drivable tomorrow. That is an interesting hole location. It's one that I could see where you could potentially, gosh, I don't know. We'll see. 14, front hole location. That's going to be probably one that you might see a couple more birdies on from what we saw today. 15, we got the back right. Now that is interesting. That's the one here right outside Club Magenta.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a spine that runs through the back part of the screen that kind of splits about 10 deep into the screen. It's on the right side of it. So if you get long and left, it makes for a really diabolical chip. So that'll be a very interesting one to monitor. 16th hole, middle left hole location.
Par five. You know,
yeah, so that's, you know, that you're thinking birdie when you get to 16. 17, kind of a middle front right. The water's not going to be in play, but it's going to require some type of high cut. Can't miss right. And then 18, that's a really tricky hole location at 18. It's a front left hole location to where if you hit it in the left rough and bail off the tee tomorrow, it's raised. The front left part of the green is raised to where it's going to be difficult to land something on the green and keep it close. So you're going to have to land it short of the green and take on potentially leaving it short left, which would make for a crazy up and down. Two putts are going to be difficult. So a birdie at the 18th is possible if you find the fairway. But if you miss the fairway, it's going to be a very challenging hole location.
Oh, well, that's a pretty good little rundown here, Smiley. And just wrapping up, looking at some of these later tee times, we have the one that's standing out to me is Cam Young and Justin Thomas. Good vibes. Guys have played together at the Ryder Cup.
2 o'clock tee time. I think that might be one we might have to go watch tomorrow.
I think you can, if you're out here, come find Jax and I.
And AV.
And AV. Oh, AV's in the mix.
And my father.
Shout out to him. Well, that's perfect. I think that's the best way to wrap it up today. We got a lot to look forward to on the weekend. Nice to see there's some birdie opportunities out there to maybe kind of move this into a scoring phase. I mean, for those that want the separation and want to see some guys, you know, break away from the pack, we'll have that opportunity tomorrow. So that's all from us.
Yeah.
From T-Mobile Club Magenta, another fun live stream. It's so great having y'all tune in and being able to kind of interact with the comments. It makes it a lot more fun and immersive. So big thanks to Jackson Brown once again for producing this thing. And Smiley, look, what do you think is leading at the end of Saturday?
That's what I was looking at. Yeah. I think somebody's going to get – I think six to seven under is going to be leading tomorrow. I do think, based on what I saw on that – the whole location sheet, I think there's going to be some birdies on that front nine. And that's the easier of the two nines. We're going to have more wedges. But that finish, I think the finish is going to require a lot of high-quality shots, which is what I love about Aronimink. You know, you're going to have wedge opportunities, but then you're also going to have to hit some big boy shots.
Well, there it is. Big thanks to everyone at T-Mobile for putting this on this week. And we'll be right back here, Club Magenta, tomorrow night. You know the drill, all right? You know how it goes. 8 o'clock, flip on Golf Channel, or maybe a little earlier tomorrow night. It's live from earlier?
Yeah, it should be a little earlier. So there's a chance that this might be pushed up an hour, which is great for all of our tummies at the end of the night trying to get some dinner.
Yeah, because, boy, I mean, well, my tummy felt great after that peanut butter Oreo shake last night.
Shout out to whatever that milkshake was, the Oreo peanut butter. It's
great milkshake.
So good.
Just in and around, you know, flip over to Golf Channel. You'll see Smiley on live from hitting his shot, hitting his putt, whatever he's going to do. And then shortly after that, we're going to be live right here on our YouTube. So we'll look forward to talking to you all right back here tomorrow night. See you then.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.